Wednesday, April 17, 2023. My name is Jaron Jackson, and I do love America. For me, it's always about the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, obey the gospel. Proverbs 17 and verse 3, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. See, there's a refining pot that you can use for silver. So the pot is indestructible by fire. So you put inside of the pot things that you can refine, silver, gold, and the such. And so the heat is turned up and you can actually get away the imperfections to get at the thing that's valuable. But the Lord trieth the hearts. So this says that the Lord tries the hearts. We are going to be tested as though gold and silver. The imperfections of people are burned off. And God does this because it's to his glory. I want to talk to you today, Lord willing, about another unanimous decision from the Supreme Court that came out yesterday. And this, April 12th, so last week. And this Supreme Court decision was unanimous. Another unanimous decision by the Supreme Court of the United States. In fact, it is this decision right here. Sheets versus County of El Dorado, California. Now, the reason why this is important, and I will explain, Lord willing, is that the text of the Constitution that secures your right to property has been unanimously defended by the Supreme Court of the United States. The reason why this is important is because God has seen fit to flip the highest court. And the highest court is screaming as loud as it can, unanimously, that the text, history, and tradition of the law is the way forward. God has blessed this nation in so many ways. And for so long, we have not followed the law. We have not known what the constitutions are. We have abdicated our duty and our responsibility to love others, to serve him. We've done that through all sorts of we've done that through all sorts of places. And one of the main ways that people in America have not done their duty to God, first and foremost, we have not preached a hot gospel that Christ is the only way to salvation, his death, his burial, his resurrection. There is no other path to salvation but through the gospel of Jesus Christ, period. We equivocate on that. I don't want to start preaching on that, but we equivocate on that. We negotiate. We water it down. We compromise. We make it to where we would much rather change the thing that God says in order to bring people in to not God. So we change what God says to attract people to God because we think that, well, we know how to do it better than what God says. That's the very first thing that we've done. And we should repent of that. We should get on our face and we should never, ever do it again. Ever. Period. A second thing, in much far distant, right? This affects the family. You know, a bad gospel affects the family, affects your personal relationship, affects your health. It becomes lazy and indulgent and all sorts of other things. But I don't want to preach on that. I would, but we're not going to preach there today. I will get off track and just preach on that. But here today in our republic, our constitutional republic, our founders who had the wisdom of Jesus because they believed the Bible, right? Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 3. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. So our founders had God's wisdom because they believed the Bible. They gave us a nation. They wrote things down in constitutions. We have not been taught. We have not had the fear of God to learn the constitutions. And so we have been destroyed. And then by God's grace, he has lifted people up. I direct people to my teacher, Dave Hosea at Real Dave Cares for You on X. Because we use the it is written method. We look at what the text of the Constitution says and we stand on it. Just like if you're following God, you read the text of the Bible and you don't let anyone else tell you what it means. The Holy Spirit tells you what it means. And so in like fashion, 9-0, unanimous. No liberal justices dissenting. Where's the liberal justices? Folks, this is a 9 decision with Ketanji Jackson, the Biden appointee, now justice, who could not define what a woman was. She is unanimously deciding and declaring the text, the history, and the tradition of the Constitution is the law. Do not miss that. Do not miss Sonia Sotomayor, the radical Marxist atheist feminist appointed by Obama is also declaring the text, the history, the tradition of the Constitution is the law. Do not miss that Elena Kagan, the former head of Harvard Law, she is also declaring the text, the history, the tradition of the Constitution is the law. Do not miss that the fundamentals are the paradigm of the Supreme Court. Today, Lord willing, we'll examine that. Before that, I'd like to direct your attention to how you can bless my family, support the ministry that I do, if this is worth anything to you. Please sign up at PatriotSwitch.com/Jaron. PatriotSwitch.com/Jaron. It's American manufacturing. Direct product purchase delivered right to your home. Stop giving your money to Walmart or Costco or Kmart or Target or anything else. Give it to an American manufacturing company where the products are better, many cases cheaper, zero liability claims in 40 years. It's a blessing to me whenever you shop. So please sign up and shop at PatriotSwitch.com/Jaron. God bless you. That's a blessing to me. All right, I want to look at this case right here. Sheets versus County of El Dorado. Now, the reason why this is important is because this is another unanimous ruling. These things are increasingly common. When have you, in all of your understanding, ever heard of a time when there are as many unanimous Supreme Court decisions? Folks, first of all, the very first thing that this does, in my view, is it points out the fact that these justices are looking to the law and no longer ruling according to their opinions. The bias of the judge is not important. And who we have at the center of this is Mr. Sheets. Mr. Sheets is a normal dude from California. And this guy wanted to build a building on his property. He bought a piece of property with his wife and they wanted to retire and they wanted to build a small home so that they could just live out their lives. The American dream, right? You work hard, you make your money, you get a wife, you raise a family and you say, honey, it's time for us just to enjoy God's blessing. Let's build a home on this patch of dirt that we bought. And the county of El Dorado would not let him alone. The county of El Dorado told Mr. Sheets, hey, that property that you bought and that home that you want to build, that's going to impact the traffic pattern of county of El Dorado. People won't be able to drive because of your house that's on that property. This is the controversy. The controversy is, does Mr. Sheets have the ability to buy private property and to put a building on it? Versus the county charging him a fee for building something on his property? Do you see how fundamental this gets? This gets down to the fundamental idea of Mr. Sheets having the freedom to dispose and use his property as he sees fit. Does he do that? Now, many skeptics today would say, well, of course not, because the government controls everything. Mr. Sheets is a patriot, and for 10 years, this man's been fighting this case, fighting all the way up, no doubt paying lots of money, doing lots of stuff. And folks, this is over a small county court cost. Think about this. This is a county in California charging a man money for building a building on his property. And he says, I don't have to do that. You're taking my money. The Constitution protects me from you doing that. You can't do that. Stop it. And the Supreme Court last week, April 12th, said, yeah, you're right. But they said a lot more than that. They said a lot more than that. And today, as last week when this decision came out, Mr. Sheets is free and clear. The order of all the lower courts were vacated, which is a fancy way of saying y'all guys are wrong. And we're going to go back to what the law says. That's what's actually happening. So, Lord willing, I want to talk about this today. And this is this decision. Before I get to this decision, I want to point out the Bruin decision from 2022. This is the 135-page PDF. Now, you can see here, it was decided of June 23, 2022. And folks, I'm telling you right here, the most important part of this is on page 14 where it says, today, we, the Supreme Court, declined to adopt that two-part approach. The Supreme Court in 2022 fundamentally pivoted. They pivoted to a paradigm that points to the fundamental law. Now hold on, let me get your eyes real fast. This is why this is important. It's important because for decades, corrupt actors, attorneys in government, attorneys outside, corrupt actors have been attacking people's rights and they've been destroying them. And they've been doing this against the law. And for decades, the courts just let it happen. The courts would not declare the law. They would come up with stupid precedent and case law. And here's the two-step method to determine whether the text says this or not. And in 2022, by God, the Supreme Court flipped. They flipped in such a fundamental way that they are signaling here 2 years later, many multiple unanimous decisions pointing back to the paradigm that they first announced in June of 2022. Let me show you what that paradigm is. It says this. In keeping with Heller, we hold that the Second Amendment plain text, look at that, plain text. It starts with the plain text of the Constitution. Now, let me point this something out. Attorneys and judges and people taught case law from law schools will think that Heller is a gun case. They will think that it's about firearms. And this is the thing that most people who are learned in the law will miss. What most lawyers today will miss, what most judges, what most people in government will miss, is that case law is not true. What's true is the text of the Constitution. Likewise, when you read the Bible, your doctrines are not the Bible. The Bible is the Bible. God says that he magnifies his word above his name. He does not magnify your stupid doctrine above his name. So whenever you bring to the text a set of lenses that someone has taught you or you have made for yourself and you start reading the Bible, you are using not God to hear God. And God says you ain't going to do that. You're not going to read my Bible with some man's lens. Calvin, Augustine, Luther, Wesley, anybody, Josephus, Justin Martyr, Origen, it does not matter if you are not an inspired apostle of God. If you do not write the Bible, you do not get to say what the Bible says. Likewise, the Constitution has plain text. And so whenever previous courts have decided and come out with a system, a model for saying what things are, what they're not doing is recognizing what the text says. You have the Second Amendment plain text covers an individual's conduct. The Constitution presumptively protects that conduct. The Constitution presumptively, which means before anything, it protects that conduct. There's nothing that can come against it. And then look at this. To justify its regulation, the government may not simply posit that the regulation promotes an important interest. You can't just bring some junk, garbage, case law, hoax law theory and say, we get to take your guns because it serves a public interest. They struck that down. Now look at this. Rather, the government must demonstrate that the regulation is consistent with this nation's historical, tradition of firearm regulation. Only if a firearm regulation is consistent with this nation's historical tradition may a court conclude that the individual's conduct falls outside the Second Amendment unqualified command. Now, this is where, let me get your eyes real fast. This is where attorneys will say, well, of course, this is a gun case law. This is a firearm law. This is case law for firearms. That's not the case. Because here's an excerpt from the Sheets ruling that I'm going to look at. This is the text, history, tradition. We're going to look at this real fast. This is what it says. This says here on page 2, the county's traffic impact fee was upheld based on the view that Nolan Dolan, which is some case law, test does not apply to monetary fees imposed by a legislature. but nothing in the constitutional text, history, or precedent, which means tradition, supports exempting legislatures from ordinary takings rules. The Constitution provides, quote, no textual justification for saying that the existence or the scope of a state's power to expropriate, that means deprive, to take, private property without just compensation varies according to the branch of government affecting the expropriation. Meaning, just because the legislature writes a statute or an agency creates a rule doesn't mean that wherever the government is trying to take your stuff, that they can take your stuff. They can't take your stuff. The Constitution's text prevents them. The tradition prevents them. The history prevents them. They are stopped. And this is because our constitutions were based on the biblical idea that people create governments and they do so with limited value, limited power. This goes all the way back to 1 Samuel chapter 8. When God tells Samuel to tell the Israelites who are asking Samuel for God to give them a king, God tells Samuel, tell those Israelites they don't want a king. Tell those Israelites the king's going to take all their stuff. Don't do it. And Samuel goes and tells them. And they go, we don't care, Samuel. Give us a king. So this goes all the way back 1,000 years before Jesus. When you have people wanting a king, when God says, you guys don't need a king. Just do what I say. Just do what the Bible says and you'll be fine. This is what we are speaking about. Let's go back to the text. So here we go. Let's do some analysis here. And if this is worth anything to you, please go to humblewb.coffee, humblewb.coffee. Join the membership there. Get a free bag of coffee or however many bags of coffee you want for memberships that you join. We mail Bibles out around the nation. HumbleWB.coffee, free gift of delicious air-roasted coffee delivered right to your door. HumbleWB.coffee. God bless. Okay, let's get back to this text. So this was decided April 12, 2024. It says here, and I'm just going to read the highlighted portions. I read, obviously you can see up here, it's a 20-page PDF document. You can read that if you want to. Right now, allow me to do some subliminal messaging here. So in Sheets' view, the court's decision of Nolan versus California, right, required the county to make an individualized determination that the fee imposed on him was necessary to offset traffic congestion attributable to his project. So Sheets is saying, hey, I'm an individual. You can't just treat me like I'm cattle. You can't treat my private property as though it is subject matter for your stupid rules. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? You can't treat Mr. Sheets' property as though you just treat everything because it's Mr. Sheets' property. It is not your property. You cannot make a rule about everybody's property. You have to treat everybody's property as though it's individually owned. This is the beauty of the right to property. Okay? That's what they're saying. The Supreme Court is saying that Sheets is saying that the county did not treat him as an individual with individual rights. And this is what they said. The takings clause does not distinguish between legislative and administrative land use permit conditions. Now, the takings clause, this is you can't take stuff, you can't take private property without just compensation. But that's exactly what the county was doing when they treated Sheets' property as though it was normal subject matter for their stupid traffic congestion fee. It says, when the government wants to take private property, it's got to give you just compensation. The takings clause saves individual property owners from bearing public burdens. Think about this. This is private property for public burdens. Do you see how there's a private property and a public burden? Folks, we live in a constitutional republic. Republic is a compound word, res meaning thing, public meaning publica meaning public, thing in the open. So a thing in the open is not a thing that's private. So your private property is not subjected to a public burden. Let's continue. says here, for example, if a proposed development would substantially increase traffic congestion, the government may condition the building permit on the owner's willingness to deed over the land needed to widen the public road. Okay, if Mr. Sheets was going to create a super mega huge shopping mall that was going to have 10,000 cars, and the 10,000 cars would congest the small county roads, that would be an impact on the traffic because of how the use of the private property was being done. Does that make sense? But Mr. Sheets is not building a 10,000 seat parking garage or shopping center. He's just building his house. And by building his house, they're saying that, hey, you're adding to the burden. But also recognize this. The government may condition the building permit on the owner's willingness. This suggests a will. This suggests someone's choice. Now, if you got a choice, that means you're not being told what to do, yes? So if the government can't just tell you what to do, if they have to treat you as though you've got a choice, as though you have a say in the matter, what does that speak to? Doesn't that speak to how you use your property to deed the land over? But when a government withholds or conditions a building permit for reasons unrelated to its legitimate land use interests, those actions amount to extortion. This is a 9-0 Supreme Court case where the Supreme Court is saying that the actions of the government is akin to extortion. Do you understand that that's corruption? Do you understand that that's not lawful? Do you understand that your government cannot extort you, but yet here you have a unanimous decision saying that it is extortion to not consider the desire, the ambition, the will, and the rights of the individual. So then they go down here and they say that there's a two-part test modeled on the unconstitutional conditions doctrine. They say first that the government has to have an essential nexus to the government's land use interest. They're going to explain that. And then secondly, there's got to be a rough proportionality to the developer's impact on the land use interest. But look at what they say here. This is the kill shot, folks. The county's traffic impact fee was upheld below based on the view that the Nolan-Dolan, this is stupid case law, the Nolan-Dolan test does not apply to monetary fees imposed by the legislature. Okay? So what this is saying is some dumb case law, Nolan-Dolan, the lower courts upheld the county's fee because of some dumb case law. But look this, nothing in the constitutional text, history, or precedent supports exempting legislatures from ordinary takings rules. Nothing in the constitutional text, history, or tradition of the Constitution will ever exempt a legislature from taking your stuff. There's no law, there's no history, and there's no precedent for them to do that. Look at this. As though to spike the football, the Constitution provides, quote, no textual justification for saying that the existence or the scope of a state's power to expropriate private property without just compensation varies according to the branch of government affecting the expropriation. Do you understand what that's saying? This is saying that the Constitution does not provide the legislature to just take your stuff according to how the government chooses to take your stuff. Can't do it. Let's keep going. Precedent points the same way as text and history. Recognize they first go to text, then they go to history, then they go to precedent. Does that make sense? That's what the court says. This is what the court says. So now look at this. This is the end of the decision, right? They say this because all parties agree, all this other kind of stuff. Look at this. It's vacated and remanded. This is the Supreme Court unanimously telling the California court, you're dumb, your rule is overturned, kick it back and do it right. Stop being stupid. That's what they're saying here. Unanimously telling them, stop being stupid. So now let's read, because that was the short holding. Now let's go further down. And we just want to keep scrolling. So this is on page 8. It says here, permit conditions are more complicated. If the government can deny a building permit to further a legitimate police power purpose. Now think about this. The police power is what? In the public. That's what the government does. but recognize the Supreme Court uses the language legitimate police power purpose, which suggests that there are illegitimate police power purposes. Remember whenever it said earlier that it was tantamount to extortion? If you take people's stuff with no regard for their individual capacity or their wants, that's extortion. And here they're saying that you have to have a legitimate police power purpose. Then it can also place conditions on the permit that serve that same end. Such conditions do not entitle the landowner to compensation, even though they require her to convey a portion of her property to the government. Thus, if a proposed development will substantially increase traffic congestion, which is Mr. Sheets creating a shopping mall or building a single individual family unit, family home, right? The government may condition the building permit on the owner's willingness to deed over the land needed to widen the public road. So this means that if Mr. Sheets was building a big, massive shopping mall that was going to get 10,000 cars a day, he still has the willingness, he still has the right to be willing to negotiate with the government. Do you see that? Do you see how this completely upends eminent domain? It completely upends the corruption and the decades of people running roughshod right over the American people. Give God the glory. The government is entitled to put the landowner to the choice of accepting the bargain, which means the negotiation, or abandoning the proposed development. You've got a choice. Now, guess what, folks? What the Supreme Court's not saying right here is that in order for them to compel you to abandon the proposed development, they got to have a trial by jury. No one can take your stuff and no one can tell you how to use your stuff unless you get a trial by jury, period, which is also a secured right in the Constitution. Now, look at this. The bargain takes on a different character when the government withholds or conditions a building permit. In other words, you are operating in bad faith as the government if you start to withhold the conditions, the permit for a building, based on what you want to use the land for. That land is not yours. That land is the people's. The people have the right to property, and so the people can choose how they use their right to property. Does that make sense? The government may not deny a benefit to a person on a basis that infringes his constitutionally protected interests. You can't, as the government, whether you are a county agency, a federal agency, the state legislature, the federal legislature, whoever you are in the government, you cannot take people's stuff, their constitutionally protected stuff. You can't take their stuff. You can't take their stuff. The nexus requirement ensures that the government is acting further to its stated purpose, not leveraging its permitting monopoly to exact private property without paying for it. The government can't run roughshod over your rights. Folks, do you see how fundamental this is? Do you see how God is giving us victory in the wisdom and the simplicity of the constitutions? This is why we now need to study in peace. Now get this. This is amazing. This is just, this right here is it's spiking the football. This is a unanimous decision. All Supreme Court justices are saying this. The California Court of Appeal declined to assess the county's traffic impact fee for an essential nexus and rough proportionality based on its view that the Nolan Dolan stupid case law test does not apply to legislatively prescribed monetary fees. That was error. Do you understand? The simpler that you say something, the more powerful it is. There's a reason why the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. Do you understand how powerful that verse is? In plain, simple language, Jesus wept, John 11:35. shows his humanity, shows his love, shows his concern, shows his vulnerability, shows the fact that he grieves for the loss. He grieves that sin is destroying people's lives. He grieves that there's separation because of sin and death. It shows our Lord, our King's heart for people just by weeping. Here, you have the Supreme Court 9-0 tell the California Court of Appeal that was error. Do you understand how simple that is? Do you understand? This is them just telling them, you are wrong. You are wrong. Now, folks, this is a drubbing. This is a thumping. This right here is taking the California Court of Appeal to the woodshed and spanking them. You are wrong. That was error. Nothing in constitutional text, history, or precedent supports exempting legislators from ordinary takings rules. You dummies, you stupid morons who don't know the law, you're going over what the Constitution says, you're denying people's rights, you're destroying them, you're doing what the law says you can't do. Stop it. Well, that thing just popped up. Stop it. Thus, there is no textual justification for saying that the existence or scope of a state's power to expropriate private property without just compensation varies according to the branch of government affecting the expropriation. You can't say there's nothing in the text of any constitution that says that the state's power can take people's stuff without compensation, or that it varies according to the different branches. Now slow down. This means a few things. One, this demonstrates the Constitution is an express trust. Exactly what is written in the Constitution is exactly the law. Nothing more, nothing less. So when the text of the California Constitution does not specifically grant anything in the state to take people's private property, whether by the legislature or by an agency, that means that the Constitution prohibits the legislature and or all agencies from taking people's private property. Period. Period. The second thing that it shows is that it's the text that justifies what the law is. Before the founding, colonial governments passed statutes to secure lands for courthouses, prisons, and other public buildings. So the Supreme Court is going before the founding. They are going back before the constitutions. Do you see how far back that is? Do you see how whenever there's stupid case law, Nolan Dolan, that was from like the 70s, how the Supreme Court will go back hundreds of years before this 1970s? To tell the court today that the court today is wrong for using a case law from 50 years ago? Do you see that? Do you see how they're quoting William Blackstone, the guy that wrote the commentaries on the laws of England? So some British lawyer, some British judge who wrote in 1768, the laws on the commentaries of England is shaping how the colonial governments before the founding are actually establishing the law. Do you see what's happening? Against this background, it is little surprise early constitutional theorists understood the takings clause to bind the legislature specifically. And then they use Jay Story, who was a jurist in early America. They use Kent, who was a jurist in early America from 1833, 1827. Here you got 1768. Do you see how they're going hundreds of years back? Do you see how they're going hundreds of years ago? I mean, at this point, this is just so obvious. In sum, there's no basis for affording property rights less protection in the hands of legislators than administrators. Look at this. The Supreme Court is equating. I don't care if you're an administrator and you're in the executive, you're in an agency, and I don't care if you're a legislator. None of you guys can take people's stuff. The takings clause applies equally to both, which means that it prohibits legislatures and agencies alike from imposing unconstitutional conditions on land use permits. Period. Do you understand how that is such a spiking of the football? Now look at this. Look at this. Look how, watch and listen very, very slow. The county. Now who is this, right? If we go back up to page one, what are we doing? The county. So it's Sheets, the private property owner, versus the county. Okay? That's what brought this here. So let's go back to our page. The county no longer contends otherwise. So recognize this. Somewhere between Mr. Sheets, being charged the fee by the county and him filing his suit against the county, so the county was against Mr. Sheets, somewhere between that first initial controversy all the way up to the Supreme Court, and now the Supreme Court is saying the county no longer contends otherwise. The county no longer argues this anymore. The county has changed their position. Recognize that is the fear of the Lord. Recognize what's happening. Recognize this right here is the fear of the Lord is striking at the heart of the county of El Dorado. They recognize they're screwed. They recognize they're wrong. And so their lawyers pivot and try to evade and gaslight and move the goalpost. And what do? In fact, at oral argument, the parties expressed radical agreement that conditions on building permits are not exempt from scrutiny under Nolan Dolan just because a legislature imposed them. Do you understand that the county is no longer arguing that the case law saves them? Do you understand that in the Supreme Court, whenever you have a litigator going up before the justices and the litigator is going to use case law and precedents, if may it please the court, if it please the court, and they go up and they use Nolan Dolan, they went up to the Supreme Court and they said, you know what? We don't think that Nolan Dolan says this anymore. We've kind of changed our position a little bit. The county was wise. The county was wise. Now, the Bible speaks about wisdom. The Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear in the Lord. Let me read that for you. Let's go to, Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, and we go verse, where are we at? Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here you have the county. Here you have the Supreme Court telling the county, you guys are wise. You are wise to distance itself from the rule applied by the California Court of Appeal, which means the California Court of Appeal is doing something unwise. And if the California Court of Appeal is doing something unwise, then wisdom is to get away from stupid arguments in the law. Get away from hoax case law. Get away from people who, if people are standing on the constitutions and you are not, don't mess with them. You are going to lose. Because as we have explained, a legislative exception to the ordinary takings rules finds no support in constitutional text, history, or precedent. And that right there, my friends, goes back to the Bruin ruling. Remember, this is Bruin, right? Bruin. We go to page 14 of Bruin. Page 14 of Bruin says what? Where we see that? The Constitution presumptively texts that. Where is it at? Where was that? History, tradition, historical tradition, right? We hear plain text, history, and tradition. So text, history, tradition. There's Bruin of 2022, and now here you have in March of 2024, text, history, precedent. So we go back here. Let's just stop this because the streaming's bad, so we're just going to stop the stream. So I stopped the stream. So we'll record it. The California Court of Appeal did not consider this point or any of the party's nuanced arguments because it proceeded from the erroneous... Okay, I got it. Stop telling me. The California Court of Appeal did not consider this point or any of the party's other nuanced arguments. Look at this. The parties are making nuanced arguments and the California Court of Appeal is cookie-cuttering things. Do you see that? Do you see how the county court of... the California Court of Appeal is using cookie-cutter logic of case law, treating this individual's private property rights as though it's just a generic thing? Do you see that? That's what the Supreme Court's saying here. That's what they're saying. Because it proceeded from the erroneous premise. Rush Limbaugh says, if you accept the premise, you lose the debate. So what premise did they begin with? That legislative permit conditions are categorically exempt from the requirements of Nolan Dolan. You guys were stupid and didn't do what the Constitution says. Therefore, you're wrong. Therefore, the judgment of the court is vacated. The case is remanded for further proceedings, not inconsistent with this opinion. Take this back down to your stupid court and do what you have to do. Capiche? Now, let's go to... This is Justice Sonia Sotomayor and Justice Jackson. Remember, these... So, Justice Jackson is the Biden appointee who couldn't define a woman, and Sonia Sotomayor is the Obama-appointed liberal judge. So these are the two liberal judges. And what did they say? Look at this beautiful quote from liberal judges. A predicate, so that is an action, a beginning, a cause, something that's going to do stuff. Something that's going to do stuff for any unconstitutional conditions claim. So if you're going to say that something is unconstitutional and it doesn't meet the constitutional condition, right? Is that the government could not have constitutionally ordered the person asserting the claim to do what it is attempted to pressure that person into doing. Let me try to restate that a different way. If the government is going to try to force you to do something unconstitutional, it cannot do that. The government cannot force anybody to do anything that is unconstitutional. That's what this is saying. From two liberal justices. The two liberal justices are literally saying the government cannot make you do anything unconstitutional. What does that tell you? That tells me you better learn your constitutions. Now let's go back here to Gorsuch. This is the last part. This is from Gorsuch, right? We love Justice Gorsuch. Today, the county essentially confesses error. Look at that. I mean, it's brilliant and beautiful whenever you have one of the parties basically belly up, roll over, and say, hey, we're done. I'm wrong. Please forgive me. Don't destroy me. That's what he's saying here. That's what Gorsuch is saying. So they confess error, and the court corrects the state court's mistake. In other words, the Supreme Court recognizes that the county of El Dorado has repented and that the state of California is stupid. State of California made a mistake. The county has repented. It does so because our Constitution deals in substance and not form. However, the government chooses to act, whether by way of regulation or statute or ordinance or miscellaneous decree, it must follow the same constitutional rules. Do you understand how powerful that is? He's saying here that it doesn't matter the form that the legislatures are prescribing. What matters is the fact that the Constitution, What matters is what the Constitution says. And the Constitution is one of substance and not form. I don't care if you color with crayons. You are not going to take my stuff. I do not care if you're 9 feet tall and you're the best looking attorney and you're strong and you got all the armies. You are not trampling my rights. Do you understand me? That's what he's saying here. Did I have anything else? I think that was it. That's all we got. That's all I have. Okay, so give me your eyes. Let's talk about this. This is, again, a unanimous ruling. It is one in a string of many. And we are getting this, I believe, because God's wisdom is true, it's pertinent for today, and God wants his glory. People will reject this because they stand to lose if this gets out. Attorneys will lose when people realize their power in the Constitution. Injustice and corruption will lose when the simplicity of the text is taught. Much wise, and to a greater extent, when the gospel is preached according to the Bible, when the Bible is preached, God's word is proclaimed. Not man's doctrine, not man's philosophy, not man's history, not man's tradition, not your preference, not your granddaddy's church, not your denomination. When the Bible is taught, God gets the glory because he is proclaiming his word. That's how he chooses to do things. Now, the derivative of that is for people to stand on what the Constitution say and just say, this is what the Constitution says, and dare people to come at them. I dare you to come at me. I dare it. I dare you to come at me. And government is breaking. The Supreme Court has flipped. Government is breaking. And this is the call that people stand in courage and in truth and in peace and in love. Do you see that the wisdom of Christ, the providence of the Lord, has made it to where not only does this nation exist, but that its foundational law is so awesome, so simple that the common man, Mr. Sheets, look at the man. I don't want to insult the common man. The common man can say, this is my stuff and you can't take it from me. This is our nation. This is the law. And the Supreme Court, by God, is 9-0, unanimously, repeatedly saying it over and over and over and over and over again. And I believe that there will be more unanimous decisions to come. Because God has flipped SCOTUS. God is working through the common man to speak to the plain language of the constitutions and to stand in courage, in peace, and in love, and in truth. To speak to evil actors, to corrupt people, to speak directly to them and to say, you can't do this anymore. You can't do this anymore. That's where we're at. Amazing time. Folks, the most important thing that I do is I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I do is a ministry. What I do by God's grace is I try to show the wisdom of Christ from the Bible in real life with an emphasis of applying it to government. I don't like corruption. I don't like bad things. I don't like injustice. I don't like those things. And so I do what I do to show people not only where their provision and their power is today for deliverance against bad actors and government and to protect themselves and their families. Those are all good. But none of that compares to eternal salvation. None of that compares to the forgiveness that we only get at the cross. See, Jesus was virgin born. He lived a perfect and sinless life. And whenever he took the cross out of obedience and love to his Father, he shed his blood. His body was broken. And when he yielded up his ghost and he said, it is finished, he finished the work of his Father. He gave up his life. He was buried, physically dead, buried to show that our sins that were put on him died and were buried with him. They were sealed. The rock was sealed. They would have put stuff on there to make sure that the rock couldn't be rolled away. And they even put two Roman guards there, probably with swords and helmets. And they said, don't let anybody get in this rock. That's how dead he was. The man was dead. He was buried. He was sealed in the tomb. And there was guards put on post, put on sentry to stop people from stealing it. And then on that third day, he rose. On that third day, he physically rose from the grave. Now, what that does is many different things. One, first and foremost, it shows that he has the power of life over death. Simply put, Christ is life. Christ took Satan's number one power, death, and he smacked it in the face. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15 says that the victory was won on the cross when Christ was lifted up and the sins that were counted against us are washed away by his blood. That's what the Bible says. So the world can make fun of Jesus. The world can make fun of Christians. But when Christians look at Jesus, their Messiah was high and lifted up, which draws all nations to him. And at the moment where the powers and principalities thought that they had the greatest opportunity for victory, that was the time of their ultimate defeat. And so we have a God, the only God. We have a God whose wisdom is beyond world's understanding. And when you read the Bible, you get what he says in simplicity, in the plain text. When Jesus rose from the grave, it proved his power of life over death. It proved it. The dead man rose from the grave. And it wasn't just a dead man who just kind of died like, oh. It was a dead man that got ravaged and ripped and skewered. He rose from the grave. It proves that he was God. Because he said he was God. He told the future, I'm going to go get crucified on a cross. I'm going to die. And 3 days later, I'm going to raise from the grave. So he can tell the future. He tells what's going on. It happened. And then all the other things that he said, that the prophecies line up for him, the history lines up for him, the signs line up for him. Everything shows that Christ is the Messiah. And now that Christ is seated on the right hand of power, right next to God the Father, he is ruling and reigning over his kingdom. Folks, the church of Christ is Christ's kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of heaven, is to be in Christ. There's only one way to get in Christ. You must first hear the gospel. We just taught it. You must believe the gospel. You have to trust that it's true, because if you don't believe Christ, you're calling him a liar. And the Bible says in Titus chapter 1 that God cannot lie. If Jesus is teaching Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37, let your yea, yea, and your nay, nay, let everything else be of the evil one. If Jesus is telling you don't lie, if Revelation is telling you that all liars have their parts in the lake of fire, how could God be a liar? So he's telling the truth. You have to believe him. You have to trust him. So if you hear God's word and you trust God's word, now what's the call? The call is that you must appeal to the Lord. You must appeal to the Lord for that mercy, that spiritual circumcision of the heart. And the way that you do that is you repent of your sin. You can't continue to live the life that you're doing. You can't continue to fornicate and to lust and to steal and to lie and to murder. Even if you're not actively murdering somebody, you can't have hate in your heart for any of those people. How are you going to hate the people that Christ is trying to save? So you have to repent of your sin. You got to turn away from that. And when you fail, whenever you do sin, you come back to that repentance. You get on your face, you pray, and you say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry because I'm a horrible person, and I do this all the time, and I fall short. We all do. So you repent of your sin, which is an ongoing, consistent, never-ending thing. And lastly, you must be baptized into Jesus' name. You must appeal to Christ through baptism, because baptism now does save us. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. This is the judicial appeal that Christ has said, do this, and this is how you show me you are appealing to my grace. You are appealing to my gift. You are appealing to my provision. That's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2. You must hear the word. You must believe the gospel. You must repent of your sin and be baptized for the remission of those sins. When you do that, you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're given everlasting life. That promise is for everybody. Doesn't matter what you look like, how much money you got, fat, thin, smart, ugly, whatever. It's a promise for all people, for all time, because Christ is good and the gospel is true. The gospel is God's saving power. It is the only way to heaven. There is no one else who goes to God but through Jesus. Obey the gospel, my friends. Folks, the most important part, the most important way, I should say, the best way for you to support what I do, if it's been a blessing, if it's been illuminating, entertaining, educational, inspiring, whatever, the best way that you can help me is to go to patriotswitch.com/Jaren. This is for you to take your money that you're already spending and switch it over to American Manufacturing. Click sign up at patriotswitch.com/Jaren today. Myself or somebody with me will call you. We'll walk you through. We'll say, here's how to go to the website and purchase the American manufactured product to have it delivered right to your door. Not a big deal. If you do it and experience it and you're like, it's not for me, quit anytime. No hassles, no fees, no arm pulling. No one's going to try to jostle you. No one's going to try to swear you out of existence. No one's going to do anything crazy. This is just an opportunity to buy American manufactured goods, many times cost competitive prices that are better. The quality is absolutely better. And whenever you shop, Jaren gets a benefit. Jaren is blessed whenever you purchase from American manufacturers, which keeps your dollars in America instead of the godless commies, which is a blessing. Please bless my family and the ministry. PatriotSwitch.com/Jaren. PatriotSwitch.com/Jaren. Until next time, my name is Jaren. I do love America. Don't quit. Go to war.